Tomorrow, editorial writers at 200 newspapers across the country say they will stand up to President Trump. The Boston Globe first put out a call to papers to band together on this one day, whether their editorial boards lean left or right, to respond to President Trump's attacks on the media, like this one last week in Pennsylvania.
They can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
Or this one last year.
A few days ago, I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are. They are the enemy of the people.
Well, some of the country's biggest and most influential papers are participating, the New York Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer, but so is the Arizona Daily Sun, the Bozeman Chronicle, the Orange County Register, smaller papers. Let's bring in NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Hi, David.
Hey, Robin.
So the president also encourages his supporters to chant CNN sucks at his rallies. Don't we tell kids, you know, walk away from a bully, don't sink to someone else's level? Your thoughts on this idea of a coordinated editorial?
I'm ambivalent, but I think that newspapers get to stand up for the principles they believe in. I think that it's smart that the Globe's the coordinating paper in this encouraged other papers to come up with their own ways of expressing the sentiment of standing up for the idea of the first First Amendment rights of the press, but also the watchdog duty that it performs. So I think there's something valuable in that. At the same time, you know, President Trump has made clear to his supporters of the idea that the press acts in concert in, I don't know, to pick a phrase out of the ether, in collusion against him, that they're all, aside from Fox and a few others, working to undermine him desperately. If you have editorials rolling out all in the same morning on driveways across the country at the same time with basically the same message, he may seize on that as an opportunity to drive home this point to perhaps an increasingly narrowing but increasingly devoted fan base.
Yeah, well, the Bismarck Tribune in North Dakota is participating. This is red territory. They wrote theirs today about how they cover the Watford City tornado, the high Missouri River levels. They point out that there are 89 small papers in North Dakota who report on it when someone grows the biggest pumpkin. They say when Trump was in Fargo in June, he called reporters horrible, horrendous people, and they say no way you can say that. This editorial isn't an attack on Trump's policies. We agree with some, disagree with others. We think the atmosphere of distrust he's creating toward newspapers and other media needs to end. So do you anticipate that there will be conservative editorial writers raising their voices as well?
I do. I think that it's important to remember also that communities if newspapers are operating right, communities experience newspapers as part of their, the warp and woof of their daily lives and part of their own communities. That is, they grieve when something, a wound is visited upon them. They celebrate when good things happen. They reflect the lives of people they know. And so the idea that the president isn't just attacking the New York Times, the Washington Post, and a few select others at CNN, but may also be, in effect, smearing hundreds of papers, thousands of papers across the country, it's not a terrible idea to drive that point home explicitly. You know, there are questions about whether this will boomerang and be effective, but the idea of the sentiment that's been expressed in a year that in which we've seen violence, visited by somebody who had an issue with the Annapolis Capitol, taking the lives of journalists there, when we've seen such, not only legal challenges, but rhetorical challenges from people in some of the highest offices in the country to not just the performance of the press, but the very role that the press plays, that's a moment where one might expect the press to stand up for himself. Whether or not that backfires, I think, is a separate question.
Well, plenty aren't participating. The Washington Post is one that's not. And here's something that the Post editor, Marty Baron, who was, of course, the former editor of the Boston Globe, said last year at a Recode conference when he was asked about the president's war on the media.
The way I view it is that we're not at war with the administration. We're at work, okay? We're doing our jobs. Doing our jobs as the press and what we're expected to do.
The point he makes in this context, it feels like, is, would it be better for journalists to put their noses down, just keep working? There is a whiff. We've talked about this. Mm-hmm. As you watch maybe Don Lemon, who was personally attacked by the president, talk to Chris Cuomo about their personal feelings about being attacked. It's sometimes, even though that was terribly unfair, it starts to feel self-righteous and you know, as if they are victims. And again, maybe just ignoring the whole thing is a better tack.
Well, think about, you know, in some ways the exemplar of that is Jim Acosta. I think he's won millions of new fans with the way in which he sort of stands up and confronts Sarah Sanders and even the president on this very issue. He's also won millions of detractors who say, you know, he's made himself the story. He's made CNN the story. I think at CNN Central, they're giving him attaboys for doing it. I don't think the press has to ignore attacks on the fundamental nature of the role that it plays in society. Marty Baron, when he says we don't go to war, we go to work, it's worth reporting that some of that work involves some of the most intensive, thoughtful, exposing and searing exposés of the Trump administration and its officials of anybody working right now.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Again, we'll see what the editorial pages look like tomorrow. David, thank you.
You bet.